This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row in the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. And I am not in heels, but with some folks who are responsible for Men in Heels, a show that opens very soon at KLPAC. This play is written by Mark Bodhisilva, who wrote Three Doors, which starred Farid American, Joe Hashem, and Ho Lee Ching. Joe Hashem will join us later. Mark, reading the very short synopsis of this play, I kind of mapped out in my mind that this is about three working girls in quotation marks, yep. And they are singer, dancers. They hit some kind of a crisis, like, mm-hmm. You know, nobody's coming to our show, or that there is also some kind of a problem within the family. You know, we are guys doing performances in drag. So those kinds of conflicts. And then at the end of the play, everything comes together. Everybody's all huggy-kissy, and they have this great show to celebrate. Am I right?
You are right, partially.
Okay.
It's a bit like that, but it's also not about that. If you come to the theatre, you will see three men. They're very stripped down, so it looks like they have just finished their show. And then suddenly they realise there are some audiences still. So what are they going to do? So they scramble and they do whatever they can to put up this show. But this show is a very special one. This show is one that they have never told their audiences before. So that is basically their premise.
In other words, the fourth wall is going to be broken, and they are going to be treating the audience that are coming to the show as the audience in their post-show.
Especially in the opening, yes. And hopefully that is felt throughout.
Where is the idea for this play? Where did it come from?
Actually, it came from the director, Joe Hashem. One day he came to me, he said, I want to do a show called Men in Heels. Imagine men dancing like the paper doll show. I want you to write the script. So I was thinking, you know, it sounds very frivolous to me. You know, paper doll show, how do I write a script about men dancing and singing? In his mind, he wanted an ensemble of men at first, dancing and singing. But I thought, to put characters to 20 men, it's a bit difficult. So I started stripping down the whole story to just three men. And then I proposed the story to him, and he liked it. So I think what I have done was to really pare down his big ambition, but I hope it still translates. Yeah,
I'm surprised you know paper dolls.
Yeah, we have all seen those shows when we go abroad, and I've seen some shows when I go to drag clubs in KL.
Were they called paper dolls? Is paper dolls a specific name for drag shows? I always thought paper dolls were a specific group out of Manila.
That is the prestigious one. I think I saw the lower tiers. So, but still, the idea was the same, that men were to dress up and lip sync. So that was the idea, that whole fantastical performance of men doing this, sometimes better performances than women. So I was inspired by that. And of course, I grew up as a teenager watching Priscilla, Tu Wong Fu. Coincidentally, it's also three men always, you know, going on road trips and finding themselves. I only realized that last 2 weeks when the other two men in the show were made to watch the films, and then they realized, you know, it's also about three men. I said, yeah, but, you know.
I guess we are all very much influenced by what we have captured with our eyes over time.
Yeah.
When you started writing, even though Joe has given you this very broad premise, how did you go about putting it all together?
Right.
In terms of research, in terms of finding characters?
I'm a writer. I find it very difficult to write if I do not feel for something personally. So I felt that if I wanted to make this project meaningful, I needed to dig deep in. So what I did was I started thinking, this man, this glamorous, wonderful beings on stage, where did they start? And then I started remembering my years growing up in free school as a teenager, as a misfit with my gang of not very macho friends, and how we would do weird things in a drama club, and how we would get tauntings from different sort of groups and how we grew up to be very different people now. And so that was the inspiration to really think of the genesis of this queen, so to speak. And so if I go back to where some of my friends have landed up, now some of them are so successful, some of them are performers, some of them are doing other things, but we all had very, not to say tragic, but it was a very difficult time growing up. We always felt different. We always felt different, and especially in the 80s and 90s, we were made to feel different simply because we liked things which were not normal at that time.
You liked lip syncing.
I liked My Little Ponies and Barbie dolls at that time. So that was, I mean, as a child, what I would do is I would imagine myself in a Roxette video clip. Not as the guy, but as the girl with the blonde hair. So I thought that was, maybe that was how I started imagining myself as a female performer.
Who are these characters modeled after? Yeah. You have, can I mention one?
Yeah.
You have three people in this play.
I have a close friend in Penang who he went through a difficult time when he was a teenager. I modeled one story, one character after his character, and also another friend of mine who is sometimes contemplating transitioning from a drag queen to a trans woman. So I model it after these people I knew.
When it comes to writing based on these characters, did you also envision who will play these roles?
No. I finished writing the script first, and then Joe started thinking who should play these people. But I have to mention, when we cast Ivan, I had to restructure the character a bit to fit him, because Ivan is obviously a married man, so it was very difficult to put him in that role, because I wrote that character very differently at first. Not someone who wanted to get married to a woman, so I had to tweak it a bit, yeah.
The character that you started off with changed in the process of the rehearsal and in the after casting.
Yeah, and also what is interesting, when we had our improvisation sessions with the actors, Ivan, he gave some very interesting scenes to devise, and some of the scenes made its way into the script.
So even though after you have finished writing the script, it was not cast in stone, that you had to continue devising to add to it. All in all, how long was this process of putting this play together?
We started the process early last year, and we still tweaked last week.
Early last year.
That was when Joe started thinking of the idea, and I started putting a few scenes for him, and then it grew until last week we were still tweaking. Yeah.
How do you go about fighting the notion of stereotypes? You know, we tend to think of, you know, trans folks who are performing as drag queens. Daytime, they might be all dressed in their male clothes, but they are lelaki lembut.
Right. That was what we talked about last week also, all three of us with Joe. We thought how the lip sync aspect of the performance is when we are the most powerful, that we are the most strongest. And then what is very funny is it usually comes before a very tragic event, and yet when we go on stage and you sing the song and you become so powerful. So we think there are two sides to this being. One, which is what society thinks sometimes, this funny person who sings and is so amazing on stage. But then when you strip down the makeup and the clothes and all, there is someone else who is just like all of us, you know. So that is definitely not a stereotype, because no one is a stereotype in this world. So we would like to present these three people. Sometimes you see them as stereotypes when they lip sync to Bonnie Tyler, but when they become who they are and we do strip ourselves to the barest, hopefully you will see the core of this person, and hopefully it's not the stereotype that we perceive drag queens to be.
Well, I understand this play started with Joe's idea, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, you did a lot of the writing. Mm-hmm. We often think of plays, things we see on the stages, with things we read in fiction, as metaphors also. Mm-hmm. While there are details about, like you say, the lives of different people, and they are personal and not stereotypes, but overall, works of art are metaphors. Mm. For you, what is this play a metaphor of?
For me, it's about transformation. I would like to think it's about the stages in life that we become. It's very easy to say, you are a man, you are a woman. But I believe there are so many grey areas in between. And sometimes a man can become a woman can be a man. And sometimes the lines can be so blurred. So for me, the metaphor is that we are never just one thing. And that we can transform, we can grow, we can crystallize and become a butterfly, and it's okay. And I think our final form that we become in life, it's the form that we are supposed to be. And the journey is something to be celebrated. So I would like to think of this journey, this play, as a metaphor of what you want to become. Yeah.
As far as being a Malaysian is concerned, we always talk about being a very multicultural kind of a society. And when somebody asks you, what are you? We often struggle to say what we are. For instance, with me, when somebody says, are you a Malaysian? When I'm overseas, very easy. I'm right. a Malaysian. When I'm asked that question in Malaysia, it's often is, are you Chinese?
Right.
This play is just in some ways also dealing with those kinds of issues. Yeah. Like that we are not one thing. I am not Chinese.
Yeah.
There is Malay in me. There is Indian in me, simply because we grew up together.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because when I was writing this play, I wanted to be very careful, because now we are at a time where gender is very defined and there are so many subgroups, and there is that sort of respect you need to accord to these subgroups. So I wanted to represent respectfully. But what I realized as I was researching, writing, I realized sometimes there are grey areas again. For example, there is a man, there's a woman, there's a trans woman, then there's a drag queen, and there are so many things in between. That is one thing that I've explored in this play, and I've learned a lot from researching and finding out. And especially my Muslim friends that I have researched upon, and I've spoken to them when I wanted to write this play. Many of them have transitioned back, and they're transitioning again. So I imagine
the conflicts.
So I feel for them, because I sometimes feel the whole religion aspect does complicate their transition even more. And their process is definitely a more complicated one. So I, while doing this play, of course, it sounds very glamorous on the outside, but there are things that in our country, multiracial, religious, Muslim, all those things do play in the mix. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Mark Bodisilva, writer of Man in Heels, which opens Saturday, February 24th. This is a play about three best friends, Peter, Ilya and Brian, who are working hard to succeed as entertainers, singers, dancers in Kuala Lumpur. Coming up, we'll draw into this conversation Joe Hashem, the artistic director of the play. And we've just found out he is also the person who has inspired it. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Love. You know what I remember most from that day? The whole class laughing at me, and he looking at me, confused. Why are you doing this? I thought I'm your best friend. I was his best friend. But I was just a shit. I wanted to know what it would feel like to be humiliated for who I really am. So I got my best friend to feel it first. But I felt it anyway. Maybe even more. I went home, I closed all the doors, all the windows, and then I turned on the gas. And if that is not enough, I ate 40 Panadols just to be sure, you know?
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, somewhere in the belly of KL Packer, the building that houses Pentas 1 and Pentas 2. And Pentas 2 is where Man in Heels will open on Saturday. In the first part of the interview, Mark Bo told us about the hows and whys of this play. Now turning to Joe. Joe, there's something I discovered, which I did not realize, because I just assume Mark Bo came up with this idea, but you were the one that planted the seed.
Yes.
Why, Joe? What led you here?
That's a toughie. I thought this was going to be an easy interview. No, the reason why is because initially I wanted it. I just wanted to do a paper dolls type of thing, you know. It was, I think, just after we finished Streetcar Named Desire, the dance version.
That was quite a while ago.
And I had all these dancers and choreographers there. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun if we did a kind of a drag show, you know? And I thought, yeah, well, I get maybe 15 dancers and three or four choreographers, and we do a whole sort of paper dolls type thing. And that went on for a while, and then I spoke to Mark about it, and he came back with something totally different. I mean, it was still drag, but it had much more meat to it and much more content.
It was not a review. It was not just folks coming, singing, and walking out, but it became something with a plot and storyline.
And something so very, very meaningful. I know that's a word that's used a lot, but this play is not just bums and tits and feathers, you know? It really has a lot of heart and soul to it. There's comedy, there's drama, there's glamour, there's poignancy.
Papa, come. I changed for you. Smelly D, remember last time you told me when I was a baby you will change my lumpin for me? Now I change your lumpin pula. There. Nice and clean. Papa died the next month. At the funeral, everybody was looking at me. Me in my orange sundress. Maybe it's because I forgot to wear black. Later that day, when I went home, Auntie Sian asked me to clear everything I left in the house. Everything I left nothing in that house. So I opened Papa's room, and I saw on the walls were all the Christmas cards I sent home and my baby pictures. Papa kept them all.
There's poignancy, there's sadness, there's tears, there's joy. I mean, it's just, it's life.
When I think of men in heels, I also think of men in tutus. They have played here. They came from Australia,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
We have things like this. We have men in drag, men in tutus, men in heels. The very title seems to suggest a kind of comedy, something to laugh at.
Mm.
When we think of women in drag, or women in pants, or women in Oxfords, the titles don't evoke something. Why is that? Is it easier to do men in women's clothing, and it's straight away something comedic?
No, I think the reason why, if we have women cross-dressing, it's no different to really what they would wear sometimes. You know, they wear a slack suit, or they wear, you know, lots of women wear pants and jackets, but men...
But not cut in the way men's clothes are cut.
No, but very similar, though. So it's not that humorous, you know? Whereas when you get men wearing women's clothes, wearing dresses and skirts and bras and high heels, and it tends to connote a kind of a humour. Yes, there is humour. I'm not doubting that. I'm not saying that there isn't humour in this particular production. There's a lot of humour, but it doesn't rest on humour, this particular play. It's got much more to it than that.
How did you go about casting your actors for this one?
Three-hander. Yeah. Well, Zafir, for instance, who plays the role of Ilya, I have been watching him sort of progress as a dancer. And for the last 2 years, he's won the Best Dancing Award, the top dancer for Short and Sweet, the Short and Sweet Festival. And he is so talented, this boy. And also, I'd seen him on a couple of episodes of Mind Your Language or Mind Your English or whatever it is, that program. And actually, he was suggested to me by, I think, Mark. I think Mark suggested to me, or maybe Fairuz, the choreographer. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which one it was who suggested it to me. It was Mark. It was Mark. That's it. Mark is pointing through the glass saying, it was me, it was me, it was me, Joe. So anyway, we came in and we auditioned him, and he was just wonderful. He was spot on for it. As far as the other two characters, Ivan Hang, I had worked with. I had not Ivan,
Ivan Hang.
So, Ivan Chan, I had just recently seen him in Charlie Brown, and he was brilliant. And I'd seen him in many other things, and I had directed him before, and I'd worked with him. And he's your typical straight guy, you know, with a beard, and he's going to be in drag like that with a beard. Yeah, so you know, and then of course Mark. Mark is, what can I say about Mark? He's just so right for the particular character that he's playing. And the one thing about all the three actors is that they are so brave in the choices that they're making. And nothing frightens them. Nothing.
Did you do an open audition, an open call for audition, or was this kind of like, this guy, that guy, and this other guy?
No, but we did not do an open audition. We normally do, but for this particular play, I knew what I wanted, and it was pretty clear as to who could deliver. So there was no need for an open audition.
What are the challenges of doing this play for them? Walking in heels?
Ah, yeah. Hey, walking in heels is no easy feat, you know, especially if the heels are about 6 inches or...
Which feet? F-E-E-T?
F-E-A-T and F-E-E-T. You're very bright today. Fairuz, the choreographer, gave them walking lessons in heels.
How high?
Oh, they're about 6 inches, I think.
Grief.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're not little flatties or anything.
And Ivan is a very tall guy.
Ivan's very tall. When he puts his heels on, he's even taller. He looks like Serena Williams. So the other, if you say challenge, we were always, particularly Mark and myself, when we were planning the whole thing, very mindful of not being disrespectful to the people that we were portraying. We wanted the three characters to have their dignity, to be real people, not comic characters, not people to be laughed at, but people that you could laugh with, because they laugh at themselves all the time. So the audience will laugh with them.
When you were telling me about this, that you want them to be real characters and
yes,
not be comic stereotypes, I was going to ask, you know, to what extent does this, do their portrayals, do they, in what, to what extent do they concretize for us the stereotypes, or do they break the stereotypes? What do they do?
Well, of course, you know, drag is a stereotype in itself, isn't it? It's a stereotype. But I think the way in which we are approaching this play is everything is played for the truth. And there are two different worlds in this play. There's the world that the audience sees on the stage, which is the people as they really are. And then there's the world of these magical, glamorous videos that we took almost a week to shoot, with them dressed up and all the full glam and all of that. So there are these two worlds. There's this juxtaposition of who they really are and who they aspire to be.
Is this going to be a multimedia presentation?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. You mean Mark didn't tell you that?
No.
We thought it was going to be one of those straight
things.
Mark's a very naughty, but no, it's certainly not straight, okay? It's the last thing you could call it is straight.
Which leads me to ask this question. With what's going on in the country, Marcus commented that, you know, we are moving it towards some kind of conservatism. Mm. How will this play out?
I hope it plays out and awakens a certain consciousness in people. I think for too long we have disregarded or misplaced the LGBTQI community. We have, I won't say mistreated, but we have misunderstood, and we forget that they are people. They're real people, and they have every right to live the way that they wish to live. So some people may take objection to that, you know, some audience members may. And also the play is very seriously for mature audiences. We warn people, if you are going to be offended, if you think you're going to be offended by in-your-face reality, don't come. Don't come. But if you have an open mind, and if you like glamour, and you like a good story, and you like to cry, and you like to laugh, then definitely come.
To what extent do you think, Joe, in the context of what we're talking about, should the performing arts carry the burden of challenging social norms, social mores?
Sunheng, I think you know better than I do that this is what we should be doing all the time. We should be challenging, but challenging in a sensible way. You know, there are ways to do things and there are ways not to do things. I think we have, over the years, done things in a very sensible way. And if there's ever been any question with the authorities, we will always sit down and talk to them. And for that reason, we have always had a wonderful relationship in that sense. And in our own small way, I think we have sort of helped to challenge those norms. The only one time where I think we caused a ruckus was with the
ballet.
No, the drama version, the acting version of A Streetcar Named Desire many, many, many years ago.
Oh, that was donkey's years
ago. Yeah,
yeah. Last millennium.
That was the only time where we actually really caused a real stir. But I think the performing arts community has a... what's the word? Has a
responsibility.
A response, thank you. Has a responsibility, or it's called old-timers these days, right? Has a responsibility to question and to present issues that are socially oriented.
To what extent do you think that the Malaysian climate or the Malaysian situation makes it difficult for theatre, for the performing arts, to be satirizing, challenging, making fun of whatever that's going on in the country?
Well, I think the authorities think they're doing the right thing and to sort of save us poor idiots from hell and damnation and fire and brimstone. But, you know, they're not as silly as what some people think they might be. They are damn intelligent, and they know. They will leave things alone if they know that it's not going to cause political problems, religious problems. They will leave things alone, and they, as long as there's not a big noise being made about it, they're okay.
Well, thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you.
Man in Heels opens Pentas 2, KL Pack, Saturday, February 24th, then it runs till Sunday, March 11th. It's over 3 weekends, but no performances Mondays through to Wednesdays. While the shows are mostly in the evenings at 8:30 p.m., there are weekend matinees at 3 p.m. No Sunday evening shows, though. Sunday, 3 p.m. Best to check out klpack.org for showtimes. There are 30 limited VIP seats at every performance, minimum of 100 ringgit tickets,
yes,
for those.
Yes.
And then the rest are 55 TAS concessions apply, and these are 45. Thank you, Joe, and thank Mark.
Thank you.
This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Excuse me. Doktor ada?
Nama?
Ilya bin T. Saadun.
Tengok IC?
Kenapa ya?
As I was telling you the other day, there was this nyah who came in. Oh my God, you should have seen it. It's down there. Ayo, botched up surgery. Done in Thailand, I think. I wanted to vomit when I saw it. Don't know how to describe it. Have you seen a hot dog? It's like you take the hot dog and you slice it and dice it and you throw back inside. I don't know why they want to change something that God make nice, huh? Nothing that they do will change what they are born to be.
What I am born to be? You not tell me what I am born to be? You think I macam ni because of pill I bought online? Huh? A trip to Thailand? Ini semua lepas years and years of pulling and tugging, breakup and makeup, heart aches and healing so. Is he love me because I look like this? Is this truly love? Or does he just want a fantasy? Should I upsize? Should I downsize? Should I just cut it off completely? Now, the last one was not because of men, believe it or not. It was just me and the mirror. And this thing, looking back, who are you? I thought I knew. I don't know anymore. So I went looking to Georgia, California, anywhere I could run.
Took the hand of a preacher.
What am I going to be?
Made love in the sun, but I ran out of places and friendly faces because I had to be free. I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.